Page Ayin Aleph, Machshavas Avreichem. The Rebbe is talking about how to strengthen our Machshavas of Kedusha and certain mistakes that we should be careful not to make certain mistakes and what that means. So he writes in the middle of the page there, Af HaMachshava Shem L'Sirius Nefesh B'Kriya Shema. So the Machshava of Mesirus Nefesh that he mentioned before from the Noam Elimelech, that a person could try to have this Machshava of Mabish seeing himself literally give up his life for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this Machshava Shom Mesirus Nefesh B'Kriya Shema L'Asiya Machshava Levada. It shouldn't be simply a thought of seeing oneself standing before an open pit of fire, like the Noam Elimelech talks about, and being thrown into that fire, Al Kiddush Hashem, and with that to say Shema. It's not enough that a person has, you know, that mashava, just a thought of I'm giving up my life, Al Kiddush Hashem, but it has to be Ragdim Yenriya Mamish. The person has to try to picture that mamish, and all kinds of prote protem of that scene, of being in that situation, where you're facing the choice of giving up your life, Al Kiddush Hashem. It has to be a dimin ri'iyah mamish. Therefore you have to picture in your mind, in your eyes, you have to picture the furnace, the fire. But the kaifetz by, and to in a very detailed way, to see yourself jumping into that fire. The Kadesh Eshmaizbach to Mkadeshem Hashem. The Kamesha Hevenula El is Divek Kadesh Minamelamel Besetl Cotton. The Yadama V'Yitzayir. That's what the Noam Elimelech says. He doesn't say just V'Yachshov, to think about dying Al Kiddush Hashem. That's not going to strengthen that Machshava. Just V'Yachshov. But he says V'Yadama V'Yitzayir, that to imagine. And V'Yitzayir means to draw in the mind very clearly that picture. Le Machshava Levad Rakam Dmus V'Tzir. That's what the Noam Elimelech was talking about, that when a person has such a thought, but it's with the koyach of dimyon and ri'iyah, and seeing in such a way, then the Noam Elimelech says, then it's considered, then it's as if he's mamish bepoil, that he's giving up his life al Kiddush Hashem. It's a machshava shel mamish, a kol guvcha misragish mamena. It's such a powerful thought that your entire body senses that, you feel that. Ad shelafamim gam guvcha mamish misnanea, v'poil min akfitz ala moike eshev machshavtecha. That you actually sometimes start to move because of this thought of jumping. You actually begin to physically move. That's how powerful and clear the thought is. Kishiyaza Hashem, Besargish Vesira, Hashem helps, and you begin to feel this and are able to see in such a way. He says, "Oz tivakach." Then you will know. This is not such a hard thing to achieve, that a person can achieve this. It's not so hard. It's not such a big madrega. This is not a hard thing to be able to accomplish. Haskes Ushma. He says, but be careful, listen, don't make a mistake. I already have mentioned that my intention is not to tell you that when you feel a hargosha, that when ben kach you're having a certain kind of an emotion, a feeling, tashil oz l'shoytet besichlecha. I'm not saying that when you're feeling a certain emotion that you should begin to search in your mind to try to find some sort of an imaginary situation that will be able to fit, that will be able to accommodate that hergish that you're having. And as you're having a hergish, and you try to think of something that you could imagine, now that you have this something of, you have some feeling, to try to imagine something that will fit that hergish. He says, Hasmul Haska, that's not what I'm talking about at all. Next page. Because if you're having his rachas, and then you leave that his, you're feeling something, and then you leave that to try to find some machshava that will accompany that hergish, then the hergish will disappear. And all of those siurim in that situation, all of the pictures that you're looking for to fit into your hergish, are only, he says, pulas aseichelheim. All of those are just actions of the mind. The mind is searching for something that you can attach to that hergish. But the whole point of what we're learning is that we're trying to be megala our nefesh. We're trying to reveal the nefesh, the soul, which is above, which is higher than the seichel. The only part of a person that can really relate to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and this is what the Rebbe writes throughout the Svarim, throughout his Svarim, we understand that physically we're incapable of sensing Hashem physically. That the body is not davuk to Hashem. The body of a person is not that part of us that's attached to Hashem. Therefore, we can't feel Hashem with our bodies, with our eyes, our ears, our noses. We can't feel Hashem in such a way. The only chush within us, the only sense that we have within us that's capable of feeling Hashem is the neshama, is our soul. That's the part of us that's capable of feeling, because regarding that, Kutshubichu Yisrael v'arayis achad, Hashem, the Torah, and Yisrael are one. And like we spoke about, and the Bilvavi explains in his Svarim in many places, that the same way that I can feel my hands, my feet, and so on, because it's me, it's part of me, therefore I can feel the parts of me, I don't just think about them. And it's a very, very sad thing if a person has to, like we spoke about a few weeks ago, if a person has to tell you, if a person asks you, do you have feet, and you have to check to see, or you have to say, I heard from my, you know, we have a Messiah in my family that we all have feet. That's a very, very sad situation to be in. When something is part of you, you could feel it. If the feet are attached to you, you could feel it. The only part of us that's attached to the Rebbeinu Shlalom is the Neshama. The Neshama is attached to Hashem. It's one with Hashem is Baruch. That's what it means, Kutshubuchi Yisrael V'arayis Echad. And even the Seichel, even the mind of a person, which is the highest part of our bodies, it's the highest part of us, is the mind. That also, even though according to Chazal, according to most of the Tanoim and Amoraim, that the neshama is somehow it's contained in the mind. But Sof Kol Sof, the human mind is also part of this world. It's not chelik elukam imal. The neshama is a chelik elukam imal. The soul of a Jew is a chelik elokam imal. That is one with Hashem. So if a person wants to be able to feel, to have a hergish of Hashem, it's only by accessing that part of us, that chush that's called the neshama. And we have to learn how to do that. That's what the Rebbe's talking about, being megala the nefesh, being megala the neshama, because it's only that part of us that is capable of sensing Hashem. Our eyes, our ears, we can't. Hashem's Baruch is not something which is physical. So even the mind of a person is part of his physical life. It's just the highest part of his physical life. So even that is not one kivyochel with Hashem. So it's also thinking about God or hearing about God, but feeling the Ribono Shel Olam, that's only going to happen when there's a Gilui HaNefesh, when the Neshama, when that part of a Jew which is Me'eva, which is beyond the confines and the limitations of his body, connect Hashem Zbach. Because that part of us is inseparable from God. And as we learn, only the part of you that's inseparable can actually feel something. If your feet or your hands are detached from you, you can't feel them. You could only feel God with that part of you that is inseparable from Him. And the part of a Jew that's inseparable from Hashem is his neshama. So if you want to be able to feel Hashem Yisbarach, you can only feel Hashem Yisbarach with the neshama. So all of these exercises and all of this avodah that the Rebbe is talking about is how to be megala. Is how to be megala the nefesh, is how to access that part of us. That's the nefesh, ruach, neshama, which from there we're able to take a feel a hisrakshus v'Hashem. So the Rebbe is saying here is that if a person has a hisrakshus, and then with his mind he tries to think of something that will go together with that hisrakshus, once he already has the hisrakshus, he said that avayd is taking place in the seichel, and that's not our tachlis. Rak min mosel shahaseichel mamsi oisel adamas dor vel dover mosel o nimsel hu zeshat amadam mamsi besichelcha. In other words, you're having a certain hergish, and you're trying to find a mashal in your mind. Intellectually, you're searching for something that can, in some way, resemble the feeling that you have. But that's not the tachlis. Even though it sounds similar to what the Rebbe was saying before, that's not the avayda. What the Rebbe's talking about, he'll explain now. He says, "V'anu writes some liskas legalites nitzaitz hariiya shel bnei hanavim asher b'kirbeinu." The state of the goal of the Rebbe has been, and of all the Sfar Makadosh, is that we should be zeicha to be megala, to reveal within us a spark of being able to see in the way of the bnei hanavim, which the Rebbe says in all of the Sfar, that the Gemara says that Hanach lam Yisrael le'nevim hei b'nei nevim, all of us that have been learning the Rebbe's Sfarim these years know that the Rebbe returns to this constantly, that being a ben Navi, that every Jew is called a ben Navi, is not a description of our yichus. It's not to say that we're big miyuchasim, that we're descendants of prophets, although that's also very chashuv. That's not the point, that we're descendants of prophets. We're b'nei nevim because we have within us still a certain way of looking at reality. We have in us the ability, a chush, to see the world prophetically. Not in the complete way of the Nevi'im, not a full gilui of the Nevi'im, which we're limited now, but we're still b'nei Nevi'im. And a ben Navi means, just like a ben Bayis or ben Tyre means, that we're at home in that way of sensing reality. A ben Navi is a person who is able to look at the world with a nitzaitz, a spark of that way of seeing that the prophet saw. And every single Jew has that ability, even now. A goy doesn't have such a chush. A goy is able to see things with his imagination, and the eyes, and the ears, and so on, all of the senses. It's all a chush that's coming from the body. Any chush that a guy has of elokus, of godliness, is coming from his body. He's incapable of anything beyond that. But Jews are b'nei Nevi'im, and a ben Navi is able to reveal a nitzaitz, a spark, of that koyach of nevuah, which is the chush that we're talking about of the neshama, which is that part of us that is inseparable from Hashem. That's why all of the years growing up and learning and davening and trying to do mitzvahs without feeling a hergish of Hashem Yisbarach, but just thinking about Hashem, is because of our failure, it's not our fault, we were never taught, but it's because of our failure to be able to live with this chush, hari'iyah, with this vision of the Bnei Nevi'im, and since we're not using those kalim that we have, the kli that we have, which is the nitzoitz of a Ben Navi, since we don't use that in our Yiddishkeit, therefore we don't feel Hashem's Baruch in our lives. We try to do mitzvahs, and we try to learn and daven and so on, but we don't have a hergish for HaKadosh Baruch. We don't feel Hashem. And because of that, when it comes to Nisyanis, it's very, very hard to be strong and to be mezgaber when we have Nisyanis, because we're surrounded by things that we experience, many things that are not holy that we can see or smell or hear. Because the body has those chushim, and the body operates with those experiences, and we experience the world with those chushim. But when it comes to emunah, when it comes to the most important part of our lives, the Ribbono Shel Olam, so since all of our lives have only experienced reality with our bodies, then we come up empty when it comes to Hashem. In other words, the only way that we're familiar with experiencing life is with our body. So even if you hear about, you know, if you didn't eat all day and you hear about the, you know, that there's a gewaltige supper waiting for you, your body will react to that. That's the way that we are able to relate to the world, to our environment, is only through our bodies. But since when it comes to Hashem Yisbarach, there's leisigu masigi haguf, you can't experience Hashem physically. That's not a physical experience. It's an experience of the neshama. So if you've never learned how to experience the world without neshamas, but only with seeing and hearing and tasting and smelling and so on, so then when it comes to a nisayon, what's every nisayon? Every nisayon is basically the same thing. It's the nisayon of Yosef HaTzadik. What's the nisayon of Yosef HaTzadik? It's the same nisayon. It's the different madrigas, but every nisayon means that the world is telling you one thing, and the Baruch Shem is telling you something else, right? The problem is that the world I can see. In other words, Eishes Potiphar is in the room. And you could see that. Or you could hear her voice. Or you could smell her perfume. She's in the room. That's a physical experience. And from the time that we're born, that's how we experience the world. With our eyes, our ears, and so on. And what happens? Then someone tells you, but the Baruch Shem says you should run away from Eishes Potiphar. I don't hear him, I don't see him, I don't smell him, I don't taste him, what is it? So then you have to start coming on to, well, I know you don't feel God, or you don't hear him or smell him or anything like that, but you don't want to take a chance of going to Gehenna, do you? So then it all depends, like, you know, how pretty Eishes Potiphar is, that's all. And whether or not you have enough guilt and other stuff, you know, cooking inside of you, and you're afraid enough of getting caught and so on. But that's not the tachlis of our avodah. The tachlis of our avodah is a gilui of the nitzaitz of a ben navi, so that we can experience Hashem and feel Him and live in that reality of Hashem Yisbarach. And this is something which is karvei leino adav ma'ayit. This is not far from us. This is something that every person not only can accomplish, but it's the tachlis of our lives to be able to experience the Ribbono Shel Olam in such a way. Of course, the fact that a person doesn't, as of yet, and we continue to try to be Oved Hashem without it, and to be Mezgab in the Sianis, that's tremendous, tremendous Mesius Nefesh, and Hashem Yisbarach loves each and every one of us for doing all of that. But it's Chaval, because Uvaisidbak, that mitzvah of Dveikus Hashem, which is the Yisayid, as the Baal Shem Tov said, Kolatar Kula, is being missed. And not only is it being missed, but it's so hard to be able to be successful in the nisyanis of life when everything else in life we feel and we experience pulling at us, tugging at us. But when it comes to the Ribbono Shel Olam, all we have are our thoughts or the messiahs that we have, or that we were told by our fathers or our teachers and so on to be good boys and girls. But we don't have a chush and a hergish for the Ribbono Shel Olam. So that the avoid of a Jew, the Rabbi says, is on the right some liskais legalis nitzaitz hari'iyah shal b'nei hanavim asher b'kirbeinu. We want to be able to be megala nitzaitz hari'iyah, a spark of that way that that it's called the way of Nevuah that we all have within us because we're B'nai Nevi'im. A Jew is a Ben Navi. That means he's able to experience the world with his neshama. And that experience of the neshama, that sense of the neshama, in that place of in that part of who we are, that's where Hashem is. Because he's not in our bodies in a way that we could sense him with our bodies. He's a chelek elokam imal. And in the and therefore we have to find a way to get into that chelek elokam imal, to find the password, to get into that part of ourselves, because in that place of the chelek elokam imal, that's where we're inseparable from Hashem. That's where he is. That's the chelek elokam imal. That's like the legs, the feet that are attached to your body, that you feel, not because you have to hear about them, not because you were told that there are feet there and you better make sure that you remember that you have feet, but because you know that they're there, because you feel that they're there. Same thing when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's a chelek elokam imal. What is it? Yes.
It sounds like you're saying there's the Jew and a Jew, they're looking for a second. So the Jew, he's deep down inside, he really, what's really going on in the mechanics is he might not be conscious of this, but he has this drive to reveal something deeper from inside, like the Hashem. And the guy, he's just trying to reveal his body. And I hear it 100%. I'm just curious, when you see a guy, even if it's a Avodah Zarah, like Christianity, but like he has this thing he seems like he wants to come close to Yashkar, some other form of Avodah Zarah. Is that still coming from the body that he wants? I mean,
how can you understand
how that could be a body thing? Even though it's a mistake, it's wrong.
It's the same thing as wanting to go surfing.
Yeah.
Surfing at to have non-chal Yisrael ice cream.
It's like more refined surfing.
Same thing. Just more chashuv. It's more chashuv. That's all it is. In other words, when you see like 100,000 people in Central Park rolling and saying Haluka because old Billy Graham is getting up and dashing, it's all physical. All physical. That's why Gilei Reis is very closely related to Avodah Zarah, because in the Torah you see that by Baal Peor and the whole Maisa there with the nice Mayav and Midian, the connection between those two are very powerful, more so than anything else, because when the Avodah Zarah, when the idolatrous part of a person, of a guy, is agitated and is excited, since it's coming purely from the guf, so then it's the easiest thing in the world in that state of agitation and excitement to just slip into the znus part of it. That's why so much of ancient idolatry and present day in different forms idolatry is, that's why it's so closely related to disgusting and horrible rituals that
it's not like
you don't
have a drive like that.
Well, you're talking about Ne'ilah. I'm not talking about Ne'ilah. I'm talking about like Negelvas that you just did. Forget about Ne'ilah. That's Aimeladab. I'm just talking about, yeah, just the simple pashtus of a Yid. They have no chush like that.
It's so interesting. Steinbeck writes in The Grapes of Wrath how
Right after the church, they went into the basement. Yeah.
I never understood it for 30 years.
Right after the Galuchel gets up there and they're all screaming and darshening and rolling the aisles and rolling their eyes, it's right down to business.
And that's what it is.
So, because there's a very, very, because all of the Avodah Zarah is physical. But it's not just that it's physical, it's the most physical. It's the most physical experience that a guy has is in church. It's the most exciting experience that he has. Is in church, especially when it's with Nigunim, and they do it. I'm saying when you have the different types of churches and different types of Avodah Zarah, but the one where they have Bifrat, if you see by the most pashut of them, by the ones who are least capable of thinking, there you'll have the Avodah will be the most physical Avodah, The boundaries between Gilei Reis and Avodah Zarah are so thin that it's a big rachmanis that a person who thinks that his soul is bursting out from him with Halleluka, and then like in Steinbeck, that 5 minutes later he finds himself in the dungeon, you'll excuse me, with the girl, that leaves the practitioner baffled. How did he descend into the basement from the heights of his avoda, from the highest heights of his spirituality. The Torah says, because there is no such thing as spirituality. It's all physical. There are levels of physicality, and it is more refined in certain ways, because it's a physical agitation and excitement that's related to a belief that the person has. But sof kol sof, whatever he's feeling is limited to the body. Therefore, to go from the pews down to the basement is a very easy transition. It's not only that, it's a very, very comfortable transition. That's the inyan of Baal Peor. Was it that the Avodah Zarah of Baal Peor, which was the wildest, sickest, most base Avodah Zarah in Torah, that it's inseparable from znus, from sexual immorality. You can't sort it out one from the other. And anybody that's familiar with ancient religions sees and knows that modern day Christian practices are an outgrowth of ancient idolatrous practices, and the connection between one and the other is not a surprise, just like it's not a surprise when you know, over the past few years, that they've just been uncovering that a significant percentage of the galochim are spending time in the basement of the church also. So it's purely a physical experience. That's all. We don't have to come to Ne'ilah. It's nothing. Nothing. Again, to make it clear, there is a chesivus to the fact that a person, that even a ben noach, is seeking to have a connection to God. But unless he recognizes the limitation, then he could very easily slip into Baal Peor, into Gilai Raiz. Very, very easily. That's why with the removal of that type of religious excitement, to some degree, there's a quieting down of the taiva of Gilai Raiz. It's a very big inyan, but that's how it works. The two are inseparable, because it's a physical experience. It's a physical experience. You drive by on Sunday, you go driving by, you know, in Farakwa, go down Mad Avenue or something, and the doors of the church will be open, and you're looking, and you think, and you see everybody singing and dancing. It's very sweet, don't get me wrong, it's a very sweet thing that people are spending their time, you know, trying to do good things. That's a chashuva thing. But you have a little bit of chalishas das, thinking, boy, we can't get a good niggun going, you know, like for weeks. We haven't gotten one going in shul. And I'm going on Mad Avenue, and I see this, like, you know, they're having a Fabrengen inside there, you know, a Fabrengen. And you have a chalishas das. Don't have a chalishas das. It's not. It's men gornish. It's nothing. It's doesn't mean anything. It's the same thing, like, you know, like roasting hot dogs in the parking lot of Meadowlands or something. Gornished. Nothing. So, on the right, some liskas legalis nitsa tzivir shabnei adim mesher bekebeinu. We're trying to megala, to reveal that spark of seeing things in the way of the bnei hanaviim, in the way of the bnei hanaviim. Ulo tachlis ze tzvichim megalis lahitzi bana machshava chazoka v'dimin shel kedusha. It's not a question of feeling something and then imagining. That, by the way, is what's happening, Lahabdul, in the church, and you have to be very careful. There are very strong emotions that are coming from the body, and then they try to imagine with those emotions they picture Yashka and so on. So there'll be all kinds of tzaka's coming out from the church about Yashka, like he's like, you know, a boyfriend or something, and it's all. Coming from a hergish that starts from the body, and that with that hergish, with that feeling of wanting to have a father, or wanting to have a boyfriend, or wanting to have like a kid brother or something, which is the taiva for Yashka. I'm not saying it in a way that it really is entirely, because it's not proper to talk about, which is all Gilei Raiz. The whole thing with Yashka is all Gilei Raiz. That because of that taiva of having a father that loves you unconditionally, that loves you, not only that, but he died because of your sins, and he frees you from your sins, and he's your, and he's beautiful, and he's sweet and loving, and he's your boyfriend, and he's your father, and he's your little brother that, that you know that died 30 years ago. So with all of those unbelievable emotions that come from that hergish, that come from that taivas haguf, that taiva of a physical human being to have a relationship with a boyfriend, a father, brother, all of those things that Yoshki is for them. So from there will come, you know, holy so-and-so, you know, screaming and yelling and rolling in the aisles. It's a big rachmanis. So the rolling in the aisle means, I never had a father, I wish I had a father. It's very sad. Or my boyfriend got drunk and beat me up last night. I wish I had a nice boyfriend like Yoshka, who always only makes nice and says sweet things. That's all it is. It's a hergish. It's a hergish aguf. And with that hergish aguf, then they begin to think of what? Of Yoshka. So now, now there's this excitement over, they think, over God, which they don't even know how to separate either between Yoshka and God. It's a very big mess. So there's this, it's purely a physical hergish. It's just that I have this hergish, I have this taiva, and what do I do with this taiva? I take something and I try to attach to this taiva a dimyon. Then it becomes screaming and yelling and, you know, the Billy Graham's last revival or something. That's what it becomes. That's what the Rebbe is saying is hasmi lahaske, God forbid. That's not what we're talking about. So he's saying that since on a right some liskos legalis nitsa tzivish of bnei adavim shebe givenu tachli zet sichem legalis laitzi bnei machshava chazoke bedimin shel kedusha. It's not when a person has some sort of a taiva or he has some sort of an emotion that he searches for a dimyon, that he searches for some picture to put into his head. But we have to try within ourselves to megala a machshava chazak, a strong thought, and a dimyon of kedusha. Halaheveinu l'cha le'el, sifrei kodesh, eich tzvichim l'tzayim maris ha-kodesh kilo hein neged einav. We already, the Rebbe spoken about this a lot, how it says in this form, how we have to try to see ourselves in Beis HaMikdash, and to see, you know, to see Maris HaKadosh, to use visions of holiness in a very, very strong way. Machshava Chazaka, Leidim Yonis Madichem. He says, I'm talking about a strong Machshava. Again, it's not clear to us how to distinguish yet between what exactly is a Machshava Chazaka and Leidim Yonis Madichem, and not Dim Yonis Madichem. Because the Rebbe was saying that we need to use our imagination. So what's the difference between Machshava Chazaka and Loi Dimyonis Madichim? The Rebbe is going to explain. Blah Hazayis Hevel, fantasies. Shein Behem Mamish. Erechayki Menefesh Dekedushi Yizgarabach. Not fantasies that have nothing to do with Kedusha, Chas HaShem. Rak Dimyonis HaNefesh Umaris HaKedush Tala Bekibuch. We're talking about strengthening within oneself visions of holiness. Maris HaKedush. Using the machshava, using the seichel, to be able to strengthen a vision of kiddush of maris hakodesh, which can help to be megala the nefesh of the nefesh ruach neshama. Then, by using that machshava, by using that mara of kedusha, that vision of kedusha, and in doing so, that there's a hisrakshus that you're able to draw out from within yourself, that hisrakshus is a hisrakshus of the nefesh that is hidden within the person, and ma'at esgala, you're able to reveal something of it. V'yad v'regel toshit el mechacha v'libcha, and then you're able to stretch out your mind and your heart. You're able to stretch out your, as if you're stretching a hand and a foot into your mind and heart, to be able to reach into your mind and heart, to draw out the nefesh Yisrael from the mind and the heart. Timtzum achshav v'dimyon ha-kodesh shel b'nei ha-nevi'im, and you'll be able to find within yourself that dimyon kodesh shel b'nei ha-nevi'im. Then you will be able to have visions and experiences of his structures and the slavas. So we need to understand more about this, because we have learned many times that the Rebbe explains We've seen this very often, that when a person is having some sort of a hergish, let's say, of happiness, that he shouldn't waste that hergish, but he should try to use it in Avodas Hashem. That's the you cite in the Baal Shem Tov, and all the Sifrei Baal Shem Tov, Talmid Baal Shem Tov, is that when a person is feeling happy about something, so he has the hisrakshas, so then he should try to connect that to his Avodas Hashem. So doesn't that sound like what we were talking about before? But if a person is feeling, God forbid, if a person is feeling broken, so that he should try to instead of God forbid that being something which is stam, destructive or negative, but he should try then, he could think of his Averis, and that with that feeling of brokenness, he's able to have the Meriris, to experience the bitterness over his Averis, but we don't waste emotions. So how is that different from what the Rebbe was saying just a moment ago, that we have to be careful that when we have certain emotions, that we shouldn't search in our minds for certain dimyonos, for certain fantasies to connect to those emotions. That's not Avodas Hashem. So the Rebbe didn't explain yet the chilik. And what he's talking about, what it sounds like he's talking about here, is when a person just begins to daven, or he's starting some mitzvah, that he has to try to be mechazik ha-machshav of kedusha, and to use his koyach ha-dimyon to think deeply about a certain machshava, and to imagine a mara of kedusha, daring al-masiris nefesh, you know, being at the kaisel maravi, whatever that is, and with that machshava chazok and that koyach ha-dimyon, then a person is able to be megala nitzaitz of a ben navi. So we have to see the chilek, but to talk more, to learn more about this avaydah, to understand what it means. So he says, Kikol Ish. What time do we dive into? 5 to 7. Kikol Ish lefi koyach machshavta v'dimyonai. Each person, according to the koyach of his machshavas. Kikol Ish lefi koyach machshavta v'dimyonai. Each person, according to the strength of his machshavas and his imagination, his srag shiyos of me'atzman misroyos lo'i, there are emotions that will begin to appear, that will begin to surface on their own, depending upon the strength of a person's machshava and his dimyon. Then his srag shiyos begin to surface, feelings begin to surface. Each and every Jew has this neshama. Each and every one has an nefesh ruach neshama, and because of that, there are tremendous, tremendous hergeshim, there are tremendous feelings of closeness to Hashem that are locked up inside each and every Jew. But how those are released and how those are experienced are going to depend upon the koyach of the machshava and the dimyon of each individual person. But when the koyach of the machshava and the dimyon is strong, so then the hisrakshias will be revealed and released, and the hisrakshias of ma'atzman misrael islay, hein b'shal shemispachay, v'hein b'shal shesamech. At a time when a person, let's say, is afraid of something, but a time that he's very happy about something. Shemispachein, when a person, he says, if we think about this, we realize, Shemispachein, when a person is afraid, then machshavas v'dimyonis ayumais misroislai, then in his mind, he imagines, he has all kinds of frightening machshavas and dimyonis, at the time that a person is afraid of what's going on. Let's say you hear some noise, you know, in your house late at night, and you thought the doors were locked, and you hear the door opening, and then you hear some noises. So at that time, a person has machshavas v'dimyonis ayumais in his mind. He sees frightening machshavas and dimyonis. Ukshu sameach, and when a person is happy, machshavos v'marais of alizai sein. Then he has machshavas and maaris. He has thoughts and visions that are very cheerful, that are very encouraging and happy. Each person according to the strength of that machshava. Im rabihi, if the machshava is very strong, let's say you're afraid, and the machshava and the dimyon is very strong about how that murderer is now climbing up the steps, right, in the house. And the machshava is very, very strong. And then you could swear that you hear the creaking of the steps, and the guy is utdut is going to be, you know, is going to be in your room. So according to the midah of how strong that machshava is, im rabbi, right? Then there are more details and more prot and more frightening things that you begin to see. And then your demyonis, your imagination becomes more colorful, and it becomes more real, more palatable, and that person could, God forbid, have a heart attack just from that pachad, even though he never saw anything. Even though it turns out, like, you know, it was nothing. It was the wind opened the door, it wasn't locked, and it was nothing. But a person could, God forbid, die from a heart attack, from the machshavas and demyonis. That's how excited his heart could get, from the machshav and the demyon that there's somebody in the house. Vim klusha machshavtei, if the person's machshava is weak, if his machshavas are weak, so this is klusha machshavtei, then the dimyonis, then the imagination and the details that are in your mind are also very limited and very, very vague and very weak. We already spoke about this. He says, old people, even though they've already stopped, it could be for years, they're no longer busy with their jobs, what they were buying and selling, or in their skills, in their crafts, in their professions. Gam oz, kol hisrakshus chadosha, shet hisrakshus bekerbam. Any hisrakshus that happens now that the old person feels, and they always see it through the eyes of their experiences that they once experienced. I mean, lahavdol, a person who's a survivor of the Holocaust. So something scary happens now. So it conjures up within him. It could conjure, let's say, God forbid, you know, this Holocaust survivor in his house, somebody, you know, threw a stone through the window. So it's a scary thing, and sof kol sof, it's a very upsetting. Someone broke your window. Could be that it was stam, maybe it was just some kids were playing ball, right? And the window broke. But if a person lived through other types of window breakings, yeah, and experiences like that, then the breaking window, even though it's just a ball, could set off such a horrible estalshlus, such a horrible string of machshavas, demyonis, of emotions, that the person, God forbid, could be in physical danger from that way of feeling that he's familiar with, that is created by the association of the window breaking. Because he says that an old person, he will still experience the world, even though it's been years since he was on the job, whatever his job was, but he'll still experience the world through the emotions of that life that he had all those years. That's how he experiences the world. Gam oz kolis rachus chadosh shetisrachish bekir b'machshavas v'dimyonim asem shavigilim heimroyim. Zos ameres shal yedei pu'uloseyem asher melefonim, that through all of the actions asher melefonim of their earlier lives, of their earlier years, machshavim mischaris umnosi zuazut nispatcha behem, because the guy spent, you know, 40 years at some job, That way of thinking was very developed in him. Whatever that job is, that whole inyan is so much a part of him. It opened up so much inside of him. Everything that he was doing was with that job. It could be 30 years later. It could be 90 years old. And the second that there's something that is in any kind of a vague way connected to that, it'll set off all of those thoughts. Or even when he sees something that's totally unrelated, his way of thinking about it or identifying it or looking at it will be the way that he was thinking for 60 years, the first 60 years of his life. That's just natural. He doesn't have to search for those terms or for those, you know, the vocabulary words of those years. They just rise up in him naturally. And how much more so shenefesh kedosha b'cha, the Jew has an nefesh kedosha in nitzayt shel b'nei ha-neviim, with the spark of the b'nei ha-neviim. Shekasha techazek, that when you strengthen that tachiv v'sifpashet, this machshavtuch ha-kedosha, and your machshav of kedusha is able to be strengthened and spread forth. Shekol esrak shuyas nafshuch ha-kedosha machshav esamayos ha-kedosh b'cha tisrenif diskeimena. Then since a Jew contains within him, before he was even created, for thousands of years, forget about working on, you know, being in construction for 50 years, and then even 30 years later, you still think that way. A Jew has for thousands of years, and there's a nefesh, ruach, and neshama of who he is, which is filled with kedusha and tahara. So we're able, the Rebbe's saying, that it's possible through using this koyach of machshava and dimyon, that a person is able then to unleash within himself his ragshiyos, unbelievable emotions that come from that place that's called the place of the B'nai Neviim. Which we'll go daven, but Mitzvah, we'll continue talking about this next week.